Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Banking Matters. I'm your host, Lindsay Hughley, and welcome to the first Monday of the month, where we like to keep the conversation a little bit more laid back and fun sometimes. Joining me today is one of our co-hosts, Julia Gutierrez. She is the Vice President of Compliance Education. How are you today? I hear you've had a busy week.
Good morning. It's been a busy but good week, very productive, and it's been good.
Yes. So I honestly right now, I know we're starting August. My kids, on the date that this will get released, they start school tomorrow on the next day. But I honestly cannot believe school is about to start and that August is here. I know that you've had, have your kids stayed home with you this summer too?
They have. It's been a wild summer. They have stayed home with me. They've done a couple of camps because, I mean, let's face it, we've got to keep ourselves sane. But yeah, they've been home a good bit of the time, and you know, they need you every time you are about to get on a call or something like that. So I'm excited to have them home with me, but also ready to get the school year started.
Yes, it never fails. They seem to have the best timing with that. So did you guys go on vacation or do anything this summer?
Well, this summer has been a little unusual. We usually are like huge travelers, vacationers. We're always planning something, but we're actually moving this summer. So we've kind of slowed down on that and put off our vacation time to a little bit later in the year so we could get all of that changed. We had just, you know, a lot of new things happening. So, I'm going to push that back a little bit and hopefully do something maybe around the holidays. What about you?
Yes, that would be so fun. And we've gone to the beach, and my oldest plays travel ball. So I feel like that in and of itself is a vacation, mini vacation every weekend, kind of, depending on how you want to look at it. But we've stayed super busy and at the river and at the lake as often as we can.
Absolutely. Hanging out on the water and soaking up that sun. That's the highlight of the summer for sure.
Yes, definitely. So just this summer also as well here at Compliance Alliance, we presented the Compliance Leadership Award this year, and we had four people win. So I just wanted to run through and give a shout out to them and congratulations, because that is a huge accomplishment to be nominated by your peers and voted as one of the top compliance leaders. So we've got Tracy Stanfield from Alpine Bank, Jane Lay from Eubank, Lacey Samples from MBT Bank, and Ronica Folder from HVSB. So congratulations to all four of you. I just think that's so awesome to just be recognized by your peers and to have such a huge honor bestowed on you. What an accomplishment. I'm a very much a words of affirmation person, so that would send me over the edge.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So, our bankers really do so much for the bank, and you know, they do so much for their community. So it's always nice to see them recognized. So that's awesome.
Yes, it is. It is. I love that we are able to do that here at Compliance Alliance and showcase those winners. And so I'm always here for it. So I wanted to kind of shift gears more into like the regulatory situation, especially with BSA. So I know that there's been a new proposed rule pushed out that's shifting more to the AML-CFT coming up, and we've got a couple months that they're taking comments. But what are your thoughts on that, Julia?
Well, I definitely think this is something we've seen coming. I'm glad that we finally have some of this, you know, proposed rule starting. We've been talking about, you know, kind of shifting to that AML-CFT, program, and we know we have those eight priorities, and, you know, a lot of bankers have just really, you know, just been waiting for the actual proposed rule, waiting to find out what it is that we should be doing. So I'm glad that we have that coming out. We've even seen bankers talk about their exams not being titled as a BSA exam anymore. They're being titled with that AML-CFT. So, certainly heading in that right direction, and glad to see these proposed rules coming out finally, and, being able to get a jump start on things.
Yes. And I think that the banks that I've worked with there we have been able, from an examiner's perspective, to kind of see the shift starting. But now that hopefully the rules are starting to get intact, it's just, to me, it makes things so much easier when things are written down, the expectations, because otherwise it's been kind of keeping up with those headwinds and what the tone of the industry is. But now, hopefully, once we get these rules down, it will be set in stone and we'll be able to really hone in on what those expectations should be.
Absolutely, I agree.
So, what have been some areas that you've seen and heard about that examiners have really been focusing on in regards to BSA over the last couple of months?
That is a really great question. I just participated with a BSA school out of Texas, which is always a great time. There's always a lot of interaction, a lot of feedback. And one of the things that we saw from bankers this time was that examiners were really focusing a little bit more on job descriptions and staffing, which was something that was a little bit new for me to hear. We always love going out and talking to bankers because it does give us an idea so we can, share that information with other bankers. And so we always see things, make sure your policies and procedures align, all of that good stuff. But this time we had several bankers that gave some feedback saying that during their recent exam, that examiners really, focused in on that staffing, making sure that they had adequate staffing for their program, making sure that there were enough folks working in it, kind of shifting away from wearing multiple hats in the BSA realm to, being a little bit more focused and having that time and those resources to focus to the program. So, like I said, a number of bankers, made comments about that. There was a number of examiners that were coming into the bank and from different regulatory agencies, FDIC, OCC. So certainly something to think about with our own programs. This is something that I haven't really heard much about. So definitely think something to keep in mind. Also,
Well, and
just making sure in our job descriptions. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
no, you're fine. I was just going to add that, me personally, the conversations that I've been involved in with banks and examiners over the last year, especially when it is pertaining to BSA, examiners are taking the time to ask the questions and really get the BSA officers to explain how the workload is divided. Like, they are really digging into, getting a full understanding so that I guess that they can make that judgment call of, are we fully staffed, or is the bank doing all that they need? Have they put enough resources into the department? But I do know that I've been in attendance of several conversations with examiners, and they are really digging into the day-to-day, who's doing what, how much, how often, and what other responsibilities are you doing. So I do see that as being pretty true from my side of
Right. And I
things
think that
too.
is something that can be good for the bank as well, because we're kind of shifting away from kind of just putting something into writing. We always hear that, putting into writing is not enough. It's what we're actually doing in practice. And so I think when we have examiners starting to ask those types of questions, we're starting to see that shift where we're really starting to see that it's equally as important to be doing something in practice and to ensure that you have adequate time and resources to meet those compliance expectations.
Yes, for sure. And before I interrupted you, what were you going to add?
I was just going to mention the staffing, excuse me, the job descriptions as well. Just making sure that, within those internal policies and such that you're outlining who's responsible for, what functions of the BSA program and even other areas of the bank. But then also, in those job descriptions for those individual BSA staff members, starting to outline what those responsibilities are as well. And that was another one of those areas that, people talked about that our bankers mentioned examiners asking for. So.
And what's funny is my experience, I've been in super small and then like medium-sized community banks, and job descriptions sometimes really, especially if they've had the same people in the same roles, it's like a forgotten thing. And they don't think about it until they have someone ask for it, and they're like, oh no, what do we need to do? Because I feel like that is something that probably doesn't get mentioned very often on a regular basis that you need to update and manage. But like I said, I have seen where they've been forgotten, or when you hire someone new and they kind of are filling a role that just kind of opened up based on growth, that the bank may not really think to plug in a description for that person moving into that role. And so that is something that probably needs to stay a little higher up on the priority list, especially in regards to BSA.
Absolutely.
And so have you heard any shift or focus in regards to the new beneficial owner process? Was anybody talking about that at the BSA school you were at?
We did get a few questions about that. And I think one of the confusing things for a lot of bankers is that, you know, the way the rules were kind of issued and then as we've seen those effective dates, I think that caused a little confusion, because I think we have, you know, folks sometimes that think that they've missed it. Did I miss the rule coming out? But then they see we're still waiting on something else. So I always like to just kind of remind them, hey, this is coming out in three phases. You know, we've got the two pieces already. We're waiting on that third one. So if you feel like you're a little bit crazy and you're missing something, you're not alone. Most of our bankers are feeling that way. But, you know, just the real reminder there is there's not a whole lot for banks to do right now to change or to meet those expectations. It's really just staying aware, staying abreast of, you know, those changes as they're coming and just being prepared. What about you on your side of the house? Have you seen a lot of questions and such on that?
Yes, and I do think there's been a ton of confusion, because people were like, oh, do we need to change our processes? Do we need to update our policies and procedures? And I was like, no, we continue to truck on. And our main thing with especially being in the communities as deep as our banks are, we were trying to educate, especially our employees that touch our commercial customers, just to educate them and be prepared, because 9 times out of 10, the community banks are the resources for questions like that. And I'm sure those businesses heard when that they need to register, or when they do, how to do it. But really, that was more of what we were preparing for, was being able to provide the resources to our commercial customers, so that if they did come and ask the banks, that they were prepared, but also just making sure that they continued to gather beneficial ownership information. And I do know that we have asked, I think someone on the hotline side with the attorneys, they had told us that FinCEN had responded that spring of 2025 is when they hope to push out the proposed rule for the last piece. So we'll be looking for that then. So, and then we'll be able to get the ball rolling on what it is that the banks are going to have to do, what kind of load we'll carry.
Absolutely. And I hope that it's exactly what, you know, the goal is of that rule. And it's, you know, a little less burden for the bank. I know we were a little ways off from alleviating that burden, but glad it's something that we'll see sometime in the future, at least.
Yes, me too. And I know that just even now, beneficial ownership, it's been out since 2018, but still it is something that sometimes is very hard to wrap your head around, especially when you have those really unique situations and you're having to drill down to find out what the actual person is and do they qualify to have the 25%, or if it's owned by trust and whatnot. It does get complicated. And absolutely. And so, like I said, it's still a topic of conversations with my bank. So I am looking forward to seeing that kind of change and shift a little bit. So we wanted to go through and kind of give you guys a preview of what August will look like. It's going to be a jam-packed month with our podcast here on Banking Matters. We've got an interview with Lacey Samples about the journey up the leadership ladder, with tons of advice on how to navigate the climb. And then we also had Dr. Streff meet with us to discuss the steps that community banks can take to showcase their understanding of data stewardship and privacy. So be sure to look for those. Those will be our next two episodes coming out. And we are always looking for guests on the podcast. So if you are interested in being a guest, please shoot us an email at info@compliancealliance.com. And one of the hosts will reach out to you about scheduling an interview. Julia, do you have anything else to add today?
I don't. Just looking forward to some of those exciting interviews coming up. So.
Yeah, me too. All right. Well, everybody, I hope you have a great Monday. And for the rest of our listeners, that's Banking Matters.